streaming live on our website, radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami. In Louisiana, on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi, on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville-Biloxi. In Ohio, on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon-Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania, on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas, on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin, at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to this, the kindergarten of the divine will. It's called The School of Mary. Why Mary? Because Mary's our teacher, our advocate, our blessing from heaven. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We're going to use a supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, welcome to the School of Mary. I'm Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to say hello to Italy right now. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter and everyone out there. It's nice to be with you again.
We're so blessed.
Yeah, we are blessed.
I mean, we woke up today. You think about it, Mother. We woke up today. We're going to be waking up spiritually today, hopefully during this program and other programs on Radio Maria. And we've done nothing to earn it. It's all gift. Everything is gratuitous by God. And you know, usually we reciprocate by saying thank you when we receive a gift, right? When we receive a material gift, we say thank you, usually on our birthday, on Christmas, and all that stuff. But what about the gifts that we receive every moment of every day? I mean, I clearly don't say thank you enough during the day. And I think that's something we can perhaps encourage everyone, including ourselves, to do more often. Because I think, I mean, what is God looking for in return? He doesn't look for money. He doesn't look for things. He looks for he wants actually the same love he gives us. And now we know that that's only possible through the gift of the divine will. So we are so blessed. We are so fortunate. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I mean, it matters to a certain extent, but all that's going to go away. I think it's St. Paul that said, when everything else disappears, I'm paraphrasing, love will be the only survivor. So that's what we want to focus our attention, put our energy in, sharing our love with one another.
Yeah, love is where it's at. You know, it's all through the Divine Will writings. That's what the Divine Will is all about, love. I was just reading here, and this was volume 12, under volume 11. It was 1912, and it was June 9th. My daughter, for the soul who does my will and lives in my volition, there is no death. Death is for one who does not do my will, because he has to die to many things, to himself, to passions, and to the earth. But one who lives in my will has nothing left to die for. He is already used to living in heaven. For him, death is nothing other than setting down his remains. as one would remove the clothes of a poor one to wear the garments of a king in order to leave exile and reach the fatherland. The soul who lives in my will is not subject to death and receives no judgment. His life is eternal. All that death had to do, love did in advance, and my will reordered him completely in me, so that I have nothing for which to judge him. Therefore, remain in my will, and when you least expect it, you will find yourself in my will in heaven. Louisa was complaining that she wanted to be in heaven already, and we do live heaven on earth, but when we live in his divine will. And the more we die to self, the more we die to the things of the world, the more we are already living in heaven. It's our own self-will, our own human nature that brings us the crosses, makes us unhappy, you know. But when we die to that will, we become happy people. We become content. Things in the world don't make us happy so much as just being with him makes us happy. That's what Louisa was just happy with God. She just wanted him all the time, you know, and because she had already died to everything of this world. She didn't eat, sleep, or drink for 64 years. She wasn't attached to the things of the world. She wasn't attached to food like we are. I mean, I am, you know, I am.
Same here. You
know? We all are. We share the same carrots.
Food and our comforts and consolations. We're so used to that. But, you know, God pulls things away from us little by little because we're spoiled people. He needs to unspoil us. That's what the lockdown was all about. That's what the wearing the mask was all about. To get us used to the cross, to the sacrifices, to doing penance, so that we could die to ourselves and not be so spoiled and have everything our way, everything so pleasant and easy all the time, you know. So I think that those crosses are what transforms us, all of our little crosses, and everybody has them on a daily basis, one way or another, you get a cross. And those are little gifts from God to train us, to teach us, to help us, to grow in holiness, to die to ourselves and die to the things of the world so that we could be more united to him and live more in his divine will. And I think, you know, the only way for me, what he keeps telling me is to get there, I have to do acts and rounds in divine will to be realize his presence within me all day long, doing everything in me. The more I do that, the more I die to everything in the world, the more I'm more content without things. I haven't gotten there yet because, you know, I keep on one of the sisters went on a home visit and bought a big bag of chocolates. And here we are eating chocolates and and I'm getting more and more time looking at those chocolates right on the table here, you know, and but that's good. You know, it's more of a penance to have them and not to eat it. I'm going to eat some, but you know, when you eat.
It's an admission. That's good. That's good, mother.
But it's more of a penance when you eat a little and you don't eat more than if you eat none. If you don't eat any, you don't long for it.
Right.
But if you have a little bit of it and you say no to a lot of it, that's the penance, that's the cross, that's denying yourself, you know. So it's easy when you, one of our aspirants here, she has a gluten allergy. She's had it all her life and she doesn't miss the things that we eat like ice cream and cookies. And she said, no, I don't miss that at all because I really grew up not eating those things. But if you grow up, it's just like a blind person. If you're born blind, you don't have such a problem with blindness as an adult who gets blind all of a sudden. So, you know, we don't miss those things so much if we don't have them ever. So if you want to do a little penance, you know, eat sweets now and then, eat something you really like now and then just don't eat too much of it. And then you're going to be denying yourself a bit, you know.
Isn't everybody glad they tuned in today to Radio Maria?
Yeah, we're trying to.
And just a disclaimer, Mother has no stock or equity in any fruit or candy company, so we're not promoting anything like this. But, you know, Mother, you mentioned about Louisa not having anything. You know, God was really taking everything away from her of the world, really preparing her for heaven. You think about it, everything that was taken away, we don't need in heaven. I don't remember the volume, but I know Jesus tells Louisa, and of course he's telling us also. He says something to the effect that when you begin to start losing things, you're not losing them. Know that it is I taking them from you. So again, if something is taken from us for a greater good, then of course we'd be in favor of that. I mean, we talked about this too. Death. Why do young people die sometimes? We don't know. It's a mystery. Why is God's permissible will allow that to happen? But if it could, if that untimely death could save that soul from perhaps a mortal sin that would never be confessed and damnation, then wouldn't it be greater to sacrifice 60 or 70 years of this world to have the next world for eternity? Of course, we would make that decision. But that takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of trust. But Jesus does say when you're taking things away, when you're losing things, though it's high. He also says the same thing about the churches. He says, when you notice the church is closing, know that it is I closing those churches. Because he says that the sacrament of the Eucharist is supposed to bring us to our salvation. But he says, because it's being used improperly, it's actually leading more souls to their damnation. So therefore, to help save the soul, I'm closing the church. So again, so it's a radical view, but yet it's really not so radical. It's really very practical when you think about it. It's God speaking, which is unlike anyone on the earth. We can't compare it. So it's just so beautiful. But we have this gift right now.
Well, it's a God. Everything works. God uses everything and brings about a greater good from it. The scriptures tell us that. We have to believe that, you know, but it's, you know, I always pray. We all love our family members and always pray that none of them will lose their souls, that God would take them out of the world before they ever lose their souls. So I'd rather see them die and leave than go to hell, you know. And so we have to pray for that, you know. But that's why maybe you talk about young people die, and sometimes hardest thing is for a parent to lose a child. But, you know, God knows he allows that and he brings a greater good out of it. Perhaps that child will have a higher place in heaven. If he had stayed on earth, maybe he would have had a lower place, or maybe not made heaven at all, you know. So you know, and always aim for heaven. I heard Ralph Martin say that once. Don't aim for purgatory. If you miss, you get hell. Aim for heaven. If you miss, you get purgatory, you know. So we should all aim for heaven. We're all on our way to heaven. You know, you're living with saints. If they're planning, the people you're living with are planning on being in heaven one day, you're living with saints. You know, so, but I think we have to realize when things are taken away from us, we should thank and praise God that those things are taken away, because he's taken them away, like you said, Peter, for a greater good. When the Eucharist is taken away from us, it's because of a greater good that God has in mind. So we have to thank and praise him for everything, you know, and Louisa, all she was deprived of, the beautiful place she's got in heaven. I mean, Louisa is way up there. She's got a high, high place in heaven. You know, but she made many sacrifices. But of course, she had that great benefit and that great pleasure of seeing our Lord on a daily basis, pretty much, which we don't have that privilege. But, you know, we have to live by faith. But that's okay. It's good to live by faith. It's probably better to live by faith. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. So we have to rely on that, what our Lord said. Anybody want to say anything?
Mother, I just wanted to also add to what you said earlier, you know, how we pray for our family members not to go to damnation. And, you know, I read a passage now, the meditation really coincided on this, because the meditation that I did is about love and about Jesus telling us that it's the importance of living in his divine volition, in his divine will, and how it is going to mitigate a lot of these punishments that we are supposed to have, I mean, that we deserve so rightfully. But also he said to also with the suffering, all the acts that we do in divine will, it also not only mitigates for the suffering, but also for those that we are praying for, the loved ones that we have, even though they are supposed to be damned because, you know, they, for example, they live in sin, but with our reparation in divine will, that's going to cause them to convert. So there is always hope. You know, I mean, we cannot see that, even if we don't see it in our lifetime, we don't know what's going to happen on their deathbed. You know, the graces, the prayer that we do in divine will could pour graces on them, that I truly believe in that, you know. So there's no cause for us to worry, because there is hope. If we truly believe in the divine will, that will save so many souls, more than anybody we can even imagine. So if we just trust in that and just believe, I really believe that when I pray, I would, you know, I don't remember all the time, but whenever I, as much as I can remember, I say, Lord, I'm doing this in your divine will for my salvation of my soul and the salvation of my mom, my dad, my parents. You know, if I have to mention names, I do. If I don't have time, I'll just say for anybody that needs it. And I believe that it'll happen. It may not happen now at the moment, but again, like I said, even at the last moment of their deathbed, they will receive that grace. So God wants to save everybody, but we have to be faithful to that. Is it okay if I, okay, I have my meditation today is in volume 35, and there's March 16, 1938, and basically Jesus was telling Louisa the importance of the divine living in the divine will and divine volition, and how it mitigates all the sufferings and how it helps a lot of people in their salvation of souls. And it also talks about the love of God. He told Louisa, "My daughter, would you like to know why we want the creature to live in our divine volition? Because we want to give her always new gifts, new love, and new charisms. We want to give her always new things from our divine being." I'll stop here because recently we just celebrated the Pentecost, and you know, we prayed for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and for the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us here that really he's telling us new gifts. So basically, Mother mentioned in the previous talks that we had, the previous sessions, about God being outside of time because he created time. So everything that God gives us is ever new. It's ever ancient, even old, but it's also ever new because God doesn't give us something. Everything that God gives us always present. It's always new. But having to receive and to listen, the creature will not have the space in which to place our gifts. If she does not live in our will, we do not deliver our gifts if we don't have a place in which to deposit them, remaining with the pain of wanting to give, but being unable to. We are as though suffocated by love, and we cannot find relief since there's no one to take it. So we are forced to watch the creature being poor, weak, ignorant. What pain. In our will, instead, we place our goods in common and go on telling her, take whatever you want, and in recognition, give us the little tribute of your love and your will. Therefore, my daughter, let's make a pact. Let's agree on this. I must love you always, and you must always give me your little love. We will always be in communication, and we'll always have things to do together. We will love with one single love and be happy with the same happiness. So how do we express this love to God? He loves us. He gives us everything that we can do, that we are. We give back to God his love through our acts, through our good thoughts, through our relationship with others, kindness, you know, kindness and joy and peace. We give this back to God. This is how we return God's love to him, is even our efforts in our own suffering, in the suffering that we do, whether it is voluntary or involuntary suffering. If we surrender it to the love of God, to his divine will, for his love, like Mother said, not to gain more higher places in heaven. I mean, that's good too, but primarily to give back love to God that he deserves. Then I continue here. Jesus told Louisa, "My daughter, my pains, kiss your pains, hug them, and blow over them with their love. They identify your sufferings with mine, giving them life in my own pains, in my own pains. So your pains receive the same infinite value and the good that mine produce. In my will, things and the pains too remain changed, and from human things, they become divine." And I stop here. So basically, if we offer our pains to God, they not only human pains, but they become divine pains. That's what Jesus says. He promised that. And so we have to believe in that, and we trust that it's true. And I continue here. "I feel that it is not the creature who suffers from them, but I myself form and create those pains." I create those pains. So Mother said earlier, it's divine will, but sometimes it's permissive will. He permits us to have suffering in order to suffer them within my beloved creature. So Jesus is suffering in us, and repeat my life within her, along with the court of my suffering. So in the Catholic Church, this is what we call redemptive suffering. And then I continue. My pain, this is why I call them my pains. If you only knew what I do with these pains, I place them between heaven and earth as perennial glory and love to my celestial father, as defense and refuge of the creatures, as regret for those who offend me, as cry of love to those who do not love me, as light for those who do not know me. In sum, I make them do all the offices of good needed for the creatures. Therefore, let me operate. These are works that your Jesus wants to do, and I can do them in the one who lives in my will. So basically, everything that we do becomes divine, and they become redemptive suffering, redemptive acts, not only for ourselves who's doing it, but for everyone else who even do not know God, who even do not love him back. So, and also Mother said, I repeat this again, do the acts and rounds, because this is what Jesus wants. We are the space, our life, our flesh, our soul. We are that space that God is talking about that he can work through for the salvation of the world.
Amen. Yeah, and we talk about, you know, the suffering, and there's other ways in which we can, again, in that category of love, but it's all giving back to God. And now God's giving us an opportunity to give back to him, like Adam, like Eve, on the level of God. And that's the level that's due to God. So again, everybody is going to be happy in heaven. All of creation is going to rejoice. And again, they rebelled when Adam and Eve sinned and was disobedient, and they all fell into disorder. All the disorder now is going to be put back in order. And of course, we all can't wait for this. Mothers, sisters.
Okay. I just wanted to tell a little story that I was reminded of when Mother and even when Sister was talking, when we're talking about things that we give up and mortifications and sufferings. A friend of mine told me this story a few years ago, and it always stuck with me. It's about a father who, for his daughter's birthday, gave him some beautiful plastic pearls. She was a little girl, and she just loved those pearls. She thought they were so beautiful, and especially because they came from her dad. She wore those pearls every day, day and night. Until maybe about a year after her birthday, the father came up to her and asked his daughter if he can have those plastic pearls back. And she looked at him, and you can tell she wanted to give them back to him, but she was just so attached that she said, Daddy, is it okay if I keep them? And he said, yeah, honey, yeah, you can keep them. A few months later, the father goes back to the daughter, and he says, honey, he goes, do you mind if I take those plastic pearls back? And again, she looks at him, and with sorrow in her eyes, she goes, oh, Daddy, I just really love them. Do you mind if I keep them? And he says, yes, honey, of course you can keep them. And he does this a couple of more times until finally the little girl says, okay, Daddy, if you really want the plastic pearls back, I'll give you the plastic pearls back. So she gives him the plastic pearls back. And what he does is takes them back and then offers her a beautiful set of real pearls. And that story always stuck with me because that's what God's constantly doing with us. You know, he gives us everything, but at times, you know, as Mother was saying before, he's got to take it back because sometimes we turn the gifts that he gives us into idols. We love the gift more than the giver, or sometimes we just get attached to it or whatever it is. But whenever God takes something away from us, whether it's, you know, something as simple as, you know, plastic pearls, or, you know, even something as very serious as a loved one that he takes away from us, we can always be assured that as a loving father, he's never taking anything away from us where he's not going to give us something greater in return. And like Mother was saying before, even the loss of a loved one, you know, if the Lord takes them because he knows it's the right time, and it's because he knows it's for their salvation and for their, maybe they're going to have a higher place in heaven at that point. That's what we should want. So, you know, in all the sufferings and all the difficulties in life, and when we feel that we're being stripped, to remember that, yeah, God is allowing this, or maybe he's even directly taking it away from us, but he's always like that loving father giving us something greater. And whatever we're giving him is very small in comparison to what's giving us. So that always helps me to just kind of reflect on the little story, because a lot of times in our difficulties and our trials and our sufferings, we forget that God's a loving father. We only see the negative aspect of what's going on. But if we really look at our Father, who's gazing at us with love and gentleness and is asking us for our fiat in that suffering, it becomes a lot easier to give it.
That's another Thanksgiving we can give too, you know, Sister. We recognize now that, again, all of this information. So, you know, the burdens of the world are not so difficult now for any of us, because we understand. But for those who don't understand right now, that's when, you know, you've got tensions, you've got anxiety, you have a lot of nervousness, fear, apprehension. We can go through all the adjectives and all the different words, but the divine will is the antidote. It really is. It's the antidote to all the poisons, all the evils. And God's waited 6,000 years for this. So he knows what he's doing. Mother, we've got about 2 minutes before break.
Well, you know, two people can't blame God for what happens. Sometimes what happens to their loved ones, tragedies happen. Sometimes tragedies happen through our own fault, through our own mistakes. But even then, God can bring a greater good out of it. But you know, if you're going to go too fast, if you're going to drive too fast and you're going to get an accident and get killed, can't blame God for that. God didn't tell you to go so fast, you know. Right. So people blame God for a lot of tragedies and a lot of things that happen in their lives or to their family members. But, you know, God is not people taking drugs. Sometimes they may be taking an overdose of drugs. and they die. Can't blame God for that. He didn't tell you to take those drugs. That wasn't part of his plan for you, but he can bring a greater good out of that too. And we have to believe that, you know. So so many times people blame God for tragedies in their lives, but they have to realize that we cause a lot of things that happen in our lives. It's our own fault. But God loves us so much, he turns it around for a greater good. He's so smart, he can figure out how to do that, how to make mistakes that we make into blessings.
That's right. Well, and you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'd like to go into the break with a snippet from volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Quote, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means in which to reach this possession of my divine will. Therefore, neglect nothing of what I want about my divine will in both writing and words and works. End quote. God has been working for 6,000 years, side by side with his Blessed Mother, to help dispose us to receive this gift. He says, the time is now. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Free. I'm free to scream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, thank you, Radio Maria, for the opportunity to be here in your home, in your place of work, or wherever you're listening at this time. Now, I neglected, I should say, I'm going to share the guilt here, to thank all of those who donated during the Radio Maria Mariathon. I think it was 2 weeks ago, and had some great, very, very generous donations. I want to thank you. And just want to let you know that all the relic cards and the other perks were in the process of being mailed. And, we've had some requests that if they continue with the donations, can we send more relic cards? Well, I have no problem extending it. I'm sure Radio Maria doesn't either. So if you'd like to, go to radiomaria.us or call 888-408-0201. Any donation you make, mention the School of Mary, and we will mail you a relic prayer card of Louisa, which includes a piece of her clothing. Again, we know how important the relics are. Remember the woman that's hemorrhaging that touched the tassel of our Lord's cloak and was healed. Perhaps that was the institution of the relics. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, we're back and we're with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. And they're coming to us live from Italy. So enough of me. Let's go back to Italy. Hi, Mother, sisters.
Hello. I was just reading in volume 14, 1922, June the 9th. Our Lord said, after this, he came back again to Louisa, but all afflicted. He told me, I feel sad when they think that I am severe and that I make more use of justice than of mercy. They are with me as if I were to strike them in each thing. Oh, how dishonored I feel by these ones. In fact, this leads them to remain at due distance from me. And one who is distant cannot receive all the effusion of my love. And while they are the ones who do not love me, they think that I am severe and almost a being that strikes fear. While by just taking a look at my life, they can only notice that I did only one act of justice, when in order to defend the house of my father, I took the ropes and snapped them to the right and to the left to drive out the profanators. All the rest was only mercy. Mercy, my conception, my birth, my words, my works, my steps, the blood I shed, my pains, everything in me was merciful love. Yet they fear me, while they should fear themselves more than me. So we cause our own problems. We should fear ourselves more than God. God is merciful. God is all love, you know, and we bring justice upon ourselves, really, you know, so God gave us the prescription of how to be happy. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us the church, the teachings of the church. Those are things to make us happy. We follow the laws. You know, if you get a machine and you don't follow the instructions, it's going to break. But if you follow the laws, you follow the instructions, the machine will work well for you. And if we follow the Ten Commandments, we follow the teaching of the church, everything will work well for us. We'll be happy people. We'll, you know, not that we won't ever have our crosses, because God, of course, has to discipline us and teach us through discipline. You know, a loving parent disciplines his children. You know, he doesn't give them everything they want because it's not good for them. So God does treats us the same way. Out of love for us, he doesn't give us everything we want. And he doesn't give us things that could be harmful to us. So, you know, we have to realize how merciful, how loving he is, and trust in his mercy. To trust in his mercy is a great way to become a saint. The more we trust in him, the more we will grow in our love for him. And the more we love him, the more we will trust him.
Amen. Hello, sister.
Hey, so as Mother and Sister Magdalena was saying earlier, the importance of doing acts and rounds in the divine will. These acts and rounds we do, they're not just for ourselves, but they affect everyone, even creation. In this passage that I read today from volume 34, April 8th, 1937, Jesus explains to Louisa about how his divine will, with his immensity, it involves everyone and everything. And Jesus tells Louisa, there is no being that doesn't swim in him. Therefore, all that which one does becomes the right of everyone, and everyone can repeat that act. At the most, some don't want to repeat it and possess it, and don't want to recognize that she lives in him, and that her life is animated by the divine fiat. These are as blind ones, that while the sun darts them with its light, they don't see it and lie as if it were night for them. They are as paralyzed, that while they can have the use of the members to do good, they are content to remain immobilized. They are as mute that they don't know how to speak. But however voluntarily blind, paralyzed and mute, but all the rest, as my will is life and is in communication with everyone, thus all that which one can do in him is life and good and right of everyone, and everyone can repeat that act in order to form the working divine life in them. Reading this reminded me of how important it is to just continually repeat our acts and rounds on divine will, because they affect everyone, and that it's important for us to recognize that Jesus lives in us about the divine indwelling, and that it's the divine fiat that's animating all our actions in our life, our breaths, our moves, and to just say, like, thank you, Jesus, every moment of our lives, and to just be constant, because constancy is what helps us to live in God's will.
That's right. Thank you. Hi, Sister Jacinta. I have the first time I think I'm saying that on air. I used to say Sister Grace, so it's now, hi, Sister Jacinta, full of grace. Yeah, I'll keep my day job, I know. Don't aspire for anything else. Mother, it's just, you know, talking about the divine will, sometimes, you know, we get into so, Jesus gets into so much detail that sometimes we think this is so onerous and so difficult, but yet it's very simple. You know, when you think about it, I had a crazy analogy, a silly analogy this morning. I was thinking about trying to curve wood, you know, to bend wood to make a horseshoe shape. Wood doesn't bend. Wood is very fragile. Wood is, steady. It's firm. It doesn't bend. It's not flexible usually. And the process to bend wood is, if the wood could speak out, it would be uncomfortable. You have to use boiling water. You've got to, you know, keep it there for a while. You've got to make it pliable, and you've got to bend it into shape. You have to let it dry. It's a process. So in essence, it's almost like the same process of what Jesus is going through and our Blessed Mother is going through in trying to reform us. We become rigid because of our inadequacies and because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And now that flexibility is being given back to us. But again, it's going to come in sometimes uncomfortable ways. You talked about God's permissible will. Sometimes they're not ways that we would like. But again, we know that whatever we're enduring, as long as we have faith, trust in our Lord, hopefully we're in the state of grace, that God is going to move us through this gift of the divine will, which again, what is the divine will? It's bringing us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. Simple. It is very simple. Mother?
Yeah, it's like, you know, gold, which in order to purify gold, you put the heat up and all the impurities come to the top. You wipe the impurities away. And then you give the gold a little bit rest. Then you heat it up again and more impurities come up. And you keep doing that until after a while, no impurities come up at all. That's when the gold is pure. And that's what God does with us and our souls, that he wants to purify us, to make us whole, to make us totally perfect before we die, so that we can enter and go straight to him and not have to spend any time on the way in purgatory. You know, he longs to be with us more than we long to be with him.
Great analogy. Thank you, Mother. Hello, Sister.
Hi, Peter. The passage I chose is from December 21st, 1931, volume 30. It begins with Jesus saying how we, our acts and our steps and words and everything we do in the divine will renders us similar to him, our creator. So it goes, God will hear the melody of his voice in their word, his power in their works, the sweet motion of his steps that runs after everyone, for he wants them with himself in their steps. And as though enraptured, he will say, who is it that is like me? Who can imitate my sweet, harmonious, powerful voice as to be able to shake heaven and earth? Who possesses such strength as to capture me into her works to make me operate together with her? She is our daughter, and that's enough. Let us allow her to imitate us, to be like us. She will be our glory of our creative work, the longed for one of her celestial father. These souls will form the new hierarchy of the celestial fatherland, where there is a place reserved for them that no one else is given to occupy. I chose this because I was thinking very much about heaven lately and how I'd like to get there soon, if it's God's will. But yeah,
me too.
if he will soon, but it just made me happy to think about heaven, and that that he has a place for us to occupy, and a special one for his children of his will. And it just made me think how in this life, how beautiful it is to have those glimpses of heaven. I remember one time my friend, we were at a beach party for young women who were discerning, and she was getting ready to enter religious life. And I told her, well, make sure you save a seat for me. I was talking about heaven because she's a very holy lady. And I just look up to her and I just asked her to, I know you can't do that, of course, but I just wanted her to remember me and keep me in her prayers. And because, you know, in those relationships in the church or anywhere really, you sometimes get to see Christ in another person. And I just thought this made me think of how beautiful it is that I know she'll remember me because she's such a loving person that I can see also that our Father is always thinking about us and how much he's at every moment, every step we take, he wants to be with us, and he already has a place prepared for each of us.
That was beautiful. You know, it reminds me also, sister, of a letter that Louisa wrote. I think it's letter 54 to Mother Elisabetta. And in that letter, she says, she's explaining about, you know, these feelings of desolation that she's feeling about. Don't worry, because God, you know, sometimes does this so that we think of him more often. But she says here that and to the work that Jesus uses now, the material of light, now of obscurity, now of isolation, in which your soul feels lonely and maybe even without the one whom you love and who loves you very much. But Jesus never leaves you. He hides. And in his hiding, the ardor of his love is so great that he gives you hidden kisses and tender hugs, that he gives them slowly and quietly so as not to be felt. However, he can't last too long at doing this. And when you least expect it, he makes himself felt in the depth of our soul in order to sustain us and to enjoy his works. End quote. So he's always working, but we may not feel them all the time, like Mother says. But then when we least expect it, that's when we receive it. So again, perseverance, constancy, faith, trust. I mean, we can repeat these words over and over again, but I think every time we repeat them, they expand in our intellect, our memory, and hopefully our will. Sister?
Yes, like you were saying, I was just thinking how many times we don't recognize it. We're unconscious about all the love and all the gifts that Jesus is giving us. And it just reminded me, yesterday we were watching this documentary about the Medjugorje and the visionaries, and how the visionary Mirjana, she said when she sees Our Lady, and when she knows she will see her, it's like an immense joy, but also a very big sufferance, because, you know, she will see her and it's heaven, it's paradise. I mean, she's like divine. And but then she won't see her. I mean, you know, like knowing, like Louisa with Jesus, like knowing, experiencing something so beautiful as heaven, like Mother was saying before, with the chocolate, like, you know, you taste it a little bit, but then it is taken away from you. And that's a real sufferance. There's one Jewish saying, I mean, well, actually, it's like when you, I mean, I've just heard it, that it is like that, like when you don't wish very well to someone, like you said, oh, may God give you to have and then not to have.
something like that, you know, like, and it reminds me of the book of Job, God gives and God takes, you know. But Sister Francesca was saying with the story about the plastic pearls and real pearls, like how much more he wants to give, God wants to give to us. So I was just reading from the volume 11, February 28, 1912. The sign, in order to know whether one loves only Jesus, how one who loves him is united with him. This morning, as my adorable Jesus came, I said to him, "Oh, my heart, my life and my all, how can one know whether one loves you only or others also? My daughter, if the soul is completely filled with me up to the brim, to the point of overflowing outside, that is, if she thinks of, searches for, speaks about, and loves nothing but me, it seems that everything else does not exist for her. Rather, it bores, it bothers her. At the most, she gives the scraps and the last place to that which is not God, as if it were her last thought, word, or act for a necessary thing of the natural life. This is nothing but giving the scraps to one's nature. This is what saints do. I did it too with myself and with the apostles, giving some dispositions on where to spend the night or what to eat. Giving this to one's nature does no harm either to love or to true sanctity, and it is a sign that the creature loves me only. But if the soul alternates among various things, now she thinks of me, now of something else. Now she speaks about me, and then she speaks at length about something else, and so with the rest. It is a sign that she does not love me only, and I am not content with it. Then, if only her last thought, her last word, her last act is for me, it is a sign that she does not love me, and if she gives me anything at all, she gives me nothing but scraps. Yet, this is what most creatures do. Oh, my daughter, those who love me are united with me like the branches are united to the trunk of the tree. Can there ever be separation, oblivion, or different nourishment between the branches and the trunk? One is their life, one the purpose, the fruits are the same. Even more, the trunk is the life of the branches, and the branches are the glory of the trunk. They are all the same thing. This is how the souls who love me are with me. So it just made me think, like, it is so simple. It's like when you're in love with someone, you think only of that person. You know, you like you hardly eat or sleep or, you know, think of anything else, just about that person. So I'm really like praying to Mary to ignite that love for Jesus, you know, like a fire, because if you're constantly so much in love with him and think only of him, even this when he talks about attentiveness, you know, of course you will be attentive, because you know you love God so much that you only think of giving him this reciprocal love and giving him the glory he deserves. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. You know, maybe I'm a slow, well, not maybe, I am a slow learner, but I just recognize, you know, that the beautiful story that Sister Francesca just articulated to us about the pearls, the fake and the real, reminds me also maybe a good example of when Jesus asks and our Blessed Mother asks us to even give up holy things. Again, not permanently, but in essence, put them on pause so that you may receive this gift and then go back and do, because the delineation is you, instead of just doing for those around you, you're doing for all of mankind. And Jesus gives a great example also in the volumes. He says, if he had come to earth in his humanity without doing the Father's will, his life, his birth, life, death, and resurrection would have only effectuated change for maybe a few generations, the old, the young, the in-between. But because he was coming to do the will of the Father, he was judged on his intention. His intention was to save all souls. Yes, all souls were redeemed, but not all souls were saved, because some just simply didn't want to be saved. But Jesus was given credit as if all souls were saved, because that was his intention, and through no fault of his own, he was able to do that. So again, the intentions, all of this, it's all mystical. It's all behind the scenes. We just have to allow ourselves to be quiet and let God speak in the silence of our hearts. I need to do that. I need to do that more than anyone else. So I'll just go on record saying that. Sisters?
No, we're all in the same boat, Peter. Don't worry.
Yeah. As long as we're not sinking, it's okay.
Yeah, right. When Sister Dora was talking about, you know, how she asks our Blessed Mother to ignite her heart with love, I just wanted to read a passage, actually the passage I chose for today. You had started the episode, Peter, talking about Our Lady, and I thought maybe this might be one of the good passages to close it with. It's from December 8th, 1931, volume 30. I just thought it was beautiful how Jesus talked about his mother and the beautiful gift that we have in our Blessed Mother. He says, "My daughter, our heavenly mama has primacy over all men's good acts. As queen, she has the mandate and the right to withdraw all of their acts into her acts. Her love as queen and mother is so great that as a soul disposes herself to make her act of love, from the height of her throne, the queen makes a ray of her love descend. She fills and surrounds the soul's acts of love to place her own within them as prime love. And as the act is done, she takes it up within her own ray of love into the font of her love. If souls adore, pray, suffer, or make reparation, from the height of her throne, the ray of her adoration, the ray of her prayer, the ray of her reparation descends. She lets out the animating ray from within the sea of her sorrows, and she penetrates and embraces the adorations, prayer, reparation, and sufferings of men. And when they have done and formed an act, the same ray of light takes them up to her throne, and they fuse within the font of the seas of adoration, prayer, reparation, and sorrows of the heavenly mama. And she repeats, 'Most holy majesty, my adoration extends into all the adorations of men. My prayer prays in their prayer, repairs with their reparation. And as mother, my sorrows fill and embrace their pains. I will not feel that I am queen if I do not run and place my prime act over all their acts. Nor will I enjoy the delights of a mother if I do not run to embrace, help, adorn, strengthen, and make up for all man's acts, so that I may be able to say, the acts of my children are one with mine. I hold them in my power before God to defend and to help them. And as the sure pledge that they will reach me in heaven. So, my daughter, you are never alone in your acts. You have the heavenly mama with you, who not only surrounds you, but nourishes your acts with the light of her virtues to give it life. You should be convinced that the queen mama's patience embraces, sustains, and nurtures yours. Around your pains, her sorrows surround you, sustaining and nourishing you in the bitterness of your pains like balsamic oil. In short, in everything she is the all-capable queen who is unable to remain idle upon her throne of glory, but who descends, rushes as mother into the acts and needs of her children. Indeed, thank her for her many motherly cares, and thank God who has given to all generations a mother so holy and beloved, who loves so deeply as to reach the point of acting as the one who withdraws all of their acts to cover them with her own and to make up for what is lacking in them of beauty and goodness."
That was beautiful. What a great way to close the program. Mother, we've got about a minute and a half. Any closing comments, suggestions, remarks?
Well, I just encourage everybody, continue to do acts and round the divine will. I was just reading here how, you know, one breath follows another breath, one heartbeat follows another heartbeat. If these are all breaths and heartbeats of God and his divine will, and his act, these acts are continuous. And about to live in the divine will, you have to do continuous acts, is to realize that these continuous acts are done by God in us. The blood flowing, circulating through the body is continuous to keep us alive. The breath, one breath after another. Before one breath is finished, another breath is coming. One heartbeat after another. That's divine will. Living in his divine will, it's continuous. God living in us and just being one with him and him one with us. That's what he desires. And he loves us so much. So we want it. He wants it. He wants it even more than we want it. We just ask Our Lady to get us there and help us along the way.
Amen. You're so right. You know, things are going to get probably much worse than they are now. God has given us the antidote to all the poisons. And here it is. And, you know, if we're contemplating giving up holy things to embrace this gift, to receive it and then go out, let's think about what Jesus says in volume 14, August 23rd, 1922. Quote, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it. End quote. So if we're not journeying yet, what are we waiting for? God is asking us to come, return, go back. This is beautiful. This is everything. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. Ciao for now.